Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and
Thank you, ladies. Let's stand together this morning. Take your Bibles. Turn to Philippians chapter number 4. chapter number 4. And we will start in verse number 4. Philippians chapter 4, in verse number 4. Let's start right there. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, or if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have done well that you did communicate with my affliction. Let's pray. And Father, we pray as we come to your word this morning, these few minutes that we have, that you would be with us. Help us, Lord, to get the truth that you have for us, that we would be able to apply this to our life, Lord, and just bless us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. In verse 6, I want you to notice that little phrase that says, be careful, be careful for nothing. Now, that doesn't mean, be crazy, okay? You ever tell your kids to be careful? That doesn't mean everybody should go out and bungee jump without tying the end to the top of where you're jumping, all right? Doesn't mean going snowboarding if you've never went before and you go down the steep one. They got the bunny slope. What's the top one called? Death comes soon, okay? You don't want to get that one, all right? That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about worry. The word careful means to be anxious, to be troubled with cares. We call that worry. If you look in the worry dictionary, the word worry will say means the thoughts, images, and emotions of a negative nature in which mental attempts are made to avoid anticipated potential threats or problems. Worry, when we worry, we torment ourselves with cares or anxieties or suffer from disturbing thoughts. People like to worry. By the way, worry is a waste of time. The Bible tells us we are not to worry. What do people worry about? People worry about the future. What's going to happen? By the way, if you read the Bible, not good stuff if you're not saved. If you're saved, it's all good. But we worry about the future. Some people worry about their health. I mean, the first little sign, you feel a little twin somewhere, it's like, uh-oh. By the way, I have to do it. It's my job description. I was going to say I don't like doing it. I do enjoy doing it. It's just that, you know, you go visit someone in the hospital. It's like, so what's going on? And we went to visit a man like 6 years ago. We went over to the hospital over here in Los Altos, and he had surgery on his intestines, and they hadn't sewn him up yet. And the nurse said, we went in there, and the nurse said, hey, take a look at this. And I'm like, I don't want to see that. And man, she's giving us a detail. You know, she had a laser pin and all that, and she's showing us guys out on the, I didn't want to see it. But you know, I'm that type, and maybe you're like me. You go there, and it's like, you know, I had this heart surgery, and they made an incision right here, and all of a sudden, I feel a pain right there. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And it's like, you know, they did this. I'm like, uh-oh, that's me. We worry about our health. We worry about our family. What's going to happen? We worry about our finances. By the way, if you don't have finances, there's nothing to worry about. That's a problem. We worry about problems that come into our life. Someone has said that an average person's worry is focused on 40% on things that will never happen, 30% about things about the past that you can't change, 12% about criticism by others, mostly untrue. By the way, someone's critical. It's usually wrong, and they have their facts wrong. 10% about your health, which gets worse with stress and worry. We sit there and worry about our health, and guess what? That makes it worse. 8% of our worry is about real problems that we will face. How do we worry? We worry about what could happen in the situations of life that we are currently going through. Something we're going through in our life, and we're concerned and we're worried about, oh, this could happen and that could happen. Whoa, and the worst case, and we worry about it. And by the way, most of that stuff's not going to happen anyhow. But we like to worry. Or we worry about things that could happen but haven't happened yet. You know, don't do that or else this could happen. Well, it hasn't happened. And we worry about it, and it doesn't happen, and we've wasted a lot of time. Someone has said that worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but you don't get anywhere. And that's true. If we're not careful, worry will cloud our present and it muddies our future. Worry is not good for us, not only physically, it's not good for us spiritually, because if you think about it, worry is nothing more than a lack of faith. And God wants us to live by faith. We all know that, but yet, if we're not careful, it can still be a struggle for us. How does worry affect us? Worry can affect your daily life so much that if you're not careful, It can interfere with your appetite, your lifestyle habits, relationship, your sleep, and your job performance. We can't sleep at night because we're worrying about something. The stress causes us to not be focused at work. On a far end, many people who worry can be can get so consumed with it that it actually starts to result in harmful lifestyle habits. But I've got news for you this morning. God doesn't want us to worry. God doesn't want us to worry. Now, I'm not talking about being irresponsible. There are situations in life that we face. There are things that are coming our way, and we have a responsibility to be prepared for that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about worrying. Oh, this is going to happen, and I'm going to, oh, this, oh, yeah. The Bible tells us to worry not. What does God really want for us? He wants us to experience joy. Verse 4 said, rejoice in the Lord always. Do you know if you're saved today, let me say this, you can always rejoice in God. There may come things in your life that are unpleasant, but if you understand the whole scheme of things and you understand your eternal future and you understand who holds your future, you can still rejoice in the Lord. But worry steals our joy. The sad thing about it is we cannot enjoy the presence because we're so focused and worried about the future, and it ruins where we are right now. That's just how we are. It's almost like, you go somewhere and you go somewhere and the beautiful scenery, and we're so focused on our phone and taking pictures, we don't enjoy it when it's 3 feet in front of us. That's how worry does. It ruins our joy now because we're focused and fretting about the future. God wants us to experience joy. As we read the verses, God wants us to experience peace. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. You see, those that live by faith, those that understand God's in control, and they have the proper mindset, even when things around them are crazy, they can have a peace that people can look and say, I don't understand that. All the stuff that's going on in this world, how can you have a peace? How can you have a joy? Because I know Jesus Christ. Because I'm saved. Worry, though, can replace our peace. Thankfully, God doesn't just identify problems. God gives solutions. He says, be careful for nothing. Don't worry. Well, how do we get over worry? By the way, Christmas season is usually a happy time. But it's also for some people, it's probably the worst time of the year. It's a reminder of things in their life, maybe problems with family, maybe situations in their life that aren't going well. And it can be a very bad time. But we never have to have a time like that. God gives us the answer. So how can we win over worry? Let me give you several points this morning from our text I think that can help us. How can we have victory over worry? Well, first of all, he gives us a challenge to pray. Verse 6 and 7 say this, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And what happens if we let our requests be known unto God? And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. You see, how do you overcome worry? When it starts to step in the door, when there's a situation that starts to creep into your life and you're starting to let it have a place in your mind where it shouldn't, take it to God in prayer. Ask God about it. By the way, let me tell you this. God already knows that bothers you. It's like sometimes we try to hide things from God. It's like, can I tell you something? We don't tell God things that are going on in our life, so he says, really? I didn't know that. God's like, he doesn't say this, but if he did, he'd say, duh. I already know that. You know what he wants us to do? He wants us to let him know that we know that. And so we come to God and we say, Lord, here's something in my life. Pray about it. Don't fuss and fret and worry. Now, if there's something on your end you need to do, do what you're supposed to do, but don't worry about it. Take it to God in prayer. That peace of God comes as a result of trusting God. And that causes us to bring our needs to him in prayer. What am I going to do tomorrow? You know, when Jesus was teaching on prayer, one thing they prayed for, give us this day our daily bread. We pray about our daily provisions. You say, but I'm pretty sure they're going to be provided for. Pray about that anyhow. You say, but I don't know about the future. Well, you're asking God every day to take care of you. Guess what? He's probably going to do it. But we don't bring it to him. We don't want to bring it to him. We want to hold on to it ourselves. And when we hold on to it ourselves, that pressure and that stress starts to build in our life. And what God wants us to do is bring it to him. Won't it be nice when we're in a building where we won't hear those airplanes? Oh, I'm worried that plane might crash. God wants us to bring our needs to him. Why don't we leave it in his hands? By the way, we come to him with thanksgiving. The problem we're not thankful about what's going on is because we're worried about things that probably aren't going to happen. So you can look at life from two ways. You can look at life from the perspective of what you don't have and what you think is going to happen. Or you can look at life from the perspective of what God has given you and what is good that's going on in your life. That's where thanksgiving comes from. But what do you want to do? Do you want to hold that burden? Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Don't you think that God loves you? Don't you think that God wants what is best for you? Don't you think God knows what's going on in your life? Maybe some of the things that are going on in our life, they're not being helped because we're not asking God to help us. In James chapter 4, it says, ye have not because ye ask not. I wonder how many things in Brother Pichardo's life and my life and others, when we get to heaven, God's going to say, I could have took care of that, but you didn't ask for help. It's like the old story we heard is Henry Ford had a friend that sold insurance, and the insurance salesman, who was Henry Ford's friend, found out that Henry Ford brought insurance from somebody else. And he goes to him and says, you know I sell insurance. We've been friends for years. How come you bought it from another company? And Henry Ford said, you didn't ask me. I wonder if God's going to say, I was going to help you with that problem, but you decided you'd take it on yourself. You ever go grocery shopping, you have little children, and you're getting done, you're taking stuff out of the car, and you know they always want to help. Daddy, I want to help. You know, it's like, all right. And they want to grab something that's too heavy for them. You know what I'm talking about? By the way, don't give little ones bread. Man, it seems like a good idea because it's light, but they usually hug it. Next thing you know, it's flat. But you give them something, it's like, I can carry that, Daddy. And it's like, no, you need help. I don't need help. And it's like, okay, watch. Like three steps in, they're dragging it on the floor. It's like, I would have helped you, but you didn't ask for help. I wonder how many times God's like that. Like, hey, I would have helped you. You don't have to carry that burden yourself, but you're deciding to carry that burden yourself. So there's a challenge to pray. If we don't pray, we forget what God has done. You know, in the Old Testament, it's very interesting. You'll notice God left memorials. when they went through the Jordan River, he had all the tribes, each of them grab a big stone out of the bottom of where the Jordan River had been parted. And then they were going to build it up over here. Why did God do that? Because years later, he wanted them to walk by and see those stones and say, oh, you know what those stones are from? God parted the Jordan River so they could remember what was going on. But when we start to take things ourselves and we don't take it to God, we forget everything he's done. Oh, how am I going to get through this? Do you remember that other thing you went through that God got you through? No, you don't, because you're not talking to God about it and you're taking it all in on yourself. So there's a challenge to pray. First, next of all, God tells us there needs to be a change in our ponderings. Ponderings, what we think about. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue or if there be any praise, think on these things. You see, if we're going to get through worry, we've got to change what we allow in our mind that we meditate on. We focus on the wrong things. I heard a story that there was a lady, and for many years she worried and fretted that there was a burglar going to break into their house for about 10 years. The husband was getting a little irritated with it. One day, they're in bed, and sure enough, they hear a sound downstairs. So the husband goes down there, he flips on the light, and sure enough, there's a burglar. And he looks at the burglar and goes, "Excuse me, sir. I need you to come upstairs and see my wife. She's been waiting to see you for 10 years now." That's how we are. Something gets in our mind and it just sticks there. No wonder we worry. We allow so much junk to get in our mind. By the way, I don't watch the news. I don't listen to the news. I read certain things and I understand what's going on. But can I just tell you something? Everything is from a slant in a negative angle. Whatever happened to good, just reporting what happened. All the nonsense they report. Man, I'd be suicidal. And then they show it at 11 o'clock or 10 o'clock right before you go to bed. And then you wonder why you have nightmares with the abominable snowman eating your children. Actually, that may not be a nightmare. That might be a blessing. You know what I'm talking about. Because you allow that negative stuff in your mind. Now, if something's real and we need to deal with it, I get it. But all the negativity around us. Listen, he says, here's the type of things you need to put in your mind. Stuff that's true. A lot of false out there. By the way, one thing about the news, they always like to jump on a story, but when the end is wrong, they never change, they never come back and say, "Oh, we were wrong about that person." We make snap judgments, we don't look at the facts. But what's true? Bible tells us to be very careful because our mind, we get strongholds of false thoughts. And when we have a false thought in our mind, something that's not true, that's how we start to live our life. Things that are honest. By the way, you watch all these movies and all this stuff, honesty's not real popular. Well, you know, you got to break the rules to get things done. Really? That's Hollywood. That's not life. Whatsoever things are honest. Lies are everywhere. Whatsoever things are just, a right way to deal with the situation. All of us hate injustice, but yet it's everywhere. Whatsoever things are pure. Can I just tell you something? There is so much garbage out there. And by the way, if someone tries to be pure and right, you're going to be ridiculed. What? You're in high school and you haven't had 12 boyfriends or girlfriends yet? What's wrong with you? You're not normal. No, they're normal. They're just waiting for the right time. Okay, immorality is not normal. I read a story in a book one time. There was a show on, I didn't watch it, Doogie Howser years ago. It was a story about a kid who was a doctor. He was a teenager. And towards the end of the show, I guess, they had him sleep with his girlfriend. And they asked the producer, "Why did you do that? It's kind of a family show. Why would you do that?" And here was his answer. "Because he was a teenager and we didn't want people to think that he was weird." Do you understand the message they just said? Their message is, if you're not immoral, you're weird. Doesn't the Bible talk about purity? Right? Kids that are honest and true and try to do the right thing, and you're weird in this world. I think it's weird the other way. You say, "But I don't believe that." Because we're listening to the wrong thing. We're getting the wrong things in our mind. And I remember, I didn't grow up in a Christian home. Those kids were goody two-shoes and do-gooders, and there was other things we called them. But you know what? They were right. Pure. Whatsoever things are lovely. Now, that's not talking about the way you look, because most of you don't look that way, fellas. It means, did you say it's early? Wow, okay. Lovely means acceptable or pleasing. You see, a lot of what we dwell on and allow in our minds is ugly. I read a story in Australia, Kmart and Target, and I can't believe they did this. I wish they'd do this in America. They quit selling the video game Grand Theft Auto, whatever the newest version is. I'm talking about unsaved people at Kmart and Target in Australia said that game crosses the line. By the way, it crossed the line the very first time it ever came out. Oh, just a video game. Remember years ago they were trying to get the Supreme Court to take pornography off the internet. Oh, freedom of speech. It's immorality. It's ugly. It's garbage. If that gets in our mind, it's going to cause us to worry. And whatsoever things are of good report. Man, don't you like to hear stuff that's good? A brother Butcher was here last week, and his son, I believe, is a police officer. And, you know, with all the stuff, and by the way, can I say something? And this has nothing to do with the preaching, but police officers are not bad. Okay, quit judging everybody by some little nonsense you hear on the news. Okay, it's a bunch of garbage. But anyhow, by the way, you think they're all bad until something bad happens at your house. Yeah. Now all of a sudden they're good. Snap out of it. Quit listening to the media. But anyhow, that was free. Brother Butcher's son is a police officer, and he was on the side of the road talking to, it looked like, a homeless lady. So somebody with a video camera on their cell phone, we're going to catch him doing something bad to this lady. You know what he was doing? He went up there and asked if she had a need. And she had a need. She goes, you know, I'm fine. I'm not hungry, but my dog's hungry. And Brother Butcher's son, a police officer, went and bought food for her dog and then got her some stuff. That's good report. Okay, yeah, I know there's bad stuff out there, and I get it. We need to be vigilant, all that stuff. I get it. But, man, we put all the nonsense in our mind. We don't like to hear that. We want to hear the negative, right? By the way, you hear the negative, but then you wonder why you're a negative person. Man, if all I hear is negative, I'm negative too. But what is in our mind? If we allow, you know, they say with a computer, garbage in, garbage out. Our mind is a product of what we allow in there. You see, once stuff's in there, you can't control your thinking with it. It's going to lead to actions, but you can control what you put in there. So be very careful. And we worry because we're allowing all these negative influences to come in. Okay? Some people are negative about everything. There was a lady one year, probably about 15 years ago in our church, and she was just going on about her husband. He's this, he's that, blah, 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 blah. And I thought, man, I got to change the subject. I'm starting to hate this guy too. And I said, hey, by the way, how's your mom doing? She goes, she's great. She's mad at my husband too. I'm like, okay, you just can't get her off the subject. But negativity. Next, there's a call to perform. Look what he says in verse 9. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. You see, the thing is, if we're going to fight worry, we need to put into practice that which we're learning and that which we know is right. We don't do that. Just hearing something that's good is a step. The next step is taking it and putting it into practice in our life. He says what you have learned and received and heard, those things that we learn in our own or we receive when we're in church services or Sunday school class or listening to preaching, and that which we have seen by watching a godly example. The key word is there, the word do. Do. Knowing a list doesn't help anybody. I know I'm not supposed to worry. I know I'm supposed to live by faith. Here's what you need to do then. Do it. Get to the point where, in spite of how you feel, you do that which you are supposed to do and that which you know is right. All of us are going to have those feelings. Man, this is starting to worry and bother me. But I know what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to pray. So I go pray. But by the way, sometimes when something's on your mind, you do not want to pray. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I mean, it's like, I know I'm supposed to pray, man, but that's on my mind, and I don't want to pray. That's the time you need to say, do. Get on your knees and pray. I know I'm supposed to have faith and trust that this situation will work out for good if I do what I'm supposed to do. Do it. Put into practice the things which you know you're supposed to do. We must have faith to do what we know we're supposed to do, not just a head knowledge. There's a big difference between a head knowledge and an obedient knowledge. We've used this story here many years, but the tightrope walkers is kind of getting to be a popular thing again. These guys on television, you know, we're gonna walk across the Grand Canyon and not die and all that. It's like, whatever. Okay, I think there's a better way to make a living. But that's real popular. The Walendas family are one of the real popular ones. Many years ago, one of them, I think they've stretched a line over Niagara Falls, a rope on Niagara Falls. And sure enough, he got on the bike, and he rode across. And there was a crowd there, and they were all clapping. He goes, thank you. And then he told the crowd, he goes, how many of you think I could do that with somebody on the handlebar? They all clapped and said, yeah. And he pointed to one guy clapping and said, hop on. The guy's like, uh-uh. See, that was a guy who had faith, but he didn't have enough faith to actually get on and do it, all right? That's how we are. I know God can take care of the situation, but I sit there and I worry about it anyhow. It's not going to help. There's a call to perform. Remember this, the beginning of worry is the end of faith. And the beginning of true faith is the end of worry. I read a story, one of Napoleon's generals, a man named George Messina, he came to an Austrian town. He came into an Austrian town with 18,000 soldiers and kind of was taking them by surprise. And so they knew they were approaching, so the town got together and said, what are we going to do? And really, there was nothing they could do. They couldn't get a crowd together in time to fight. They were kind of doomed. And so the head of the church said, you know what? We're supposed to have services in the morning. We're going to have services just like we always do. There's nothing else we can do. We'll leave it in God's hands. Let's just have church. So they said, okay. They all gathered for church. They started ringing the bell. Well, Napoleon's general heard the bells ringing and thought that was a sound of their incoming army to fight them. And so they turned around and took off. Faith to do the right thing. When everything inside of you is telling you to do something you know isn't right, the faith says, I'm not going to listen to my feelings. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do in the first place. There's a call to perform. Next, how do we win over worry? There's contentment with our possessions. Contentment with our possessions. Verse number 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. When they could, they helped Paul out. Verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want. He's not talking about the fact that he was lacking. That's what he's saying. For I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. You know what he's saying? He's saying, I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. The next verse, he says, I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Whether I have a lot or whether I have a little, I have learned to be content. One reason that we worry is because we're not content with that which we have. We think we need more to make it. And God has given us everything we need to make it where we're at right now. See, we worry so much about what we don't have instead of focusing on what He has already given us, and that causes us to worry. Contentment. You say, I struggle with contentment. Let me tell you this. The key word there is, I have learned. Let me say this too. If you're not content with what you have right now, you wouldn't be content if you had 10 times as much as you had now. Because contentment is an attitude. A person that wants more always wants more. A person that's content with what they have now, man, if God gives you more, you'll still be thankful and you'll still be content. But we worry about the future. We all want security. We would love to have enough money so that everything's taken care of. Do you know money doesn't bring security? God brings security. You can have all the money in the world. What happens if you get some disease? What happens if your family falls apart? What happens if this happens or that happens? We're trusting in the wrong thing. So we worry about what we don't have instead of just being content with what we do have. We must realize that really, 90% of us, if not all of us in this room, are better off than most of the world. See, we compare ourselves to other people in America. Listen, America is not the rest of the world. Think about the rest of the world. You know, most of the world today, most of the people in the world today, if they weren't Christian and they got up this morning and said, you know what, I think God's prompted me to go to church, wouldn't have a church that they could even go to. Just a church. We are blessed. We complain when the cheese on our hamburger isn't melted. Man, McDonald's got it wrong again. Well, duh. By the way, someone sent me a video clip. You know, does McDonald's use real meat in their hamburgers? Okay, listen, I looked at the video, and they say they do, and then I realized McDonald's is the one who produced the video. They're going to lie. That's horse meat. I don't care what they say. You know, we complain about McDonald's. Listen, some people haven't had meat in forever. Man, we have it good. Well, my shoes are too tight. Thank God you have shoes. Okay? I mean, there's two ways to look at it, and I know we got things we got to deal with, but let's be content with what God's given us. And maybe we won't worry so much about what's going on. Do you have a place to stay today? Do you have food to eat? I don't see anybody here. It looks like they're struggling. Okay, I think we're doing good. All right? Thank you, Raul. See you for lunch. The Bible tells us to be content with two things, food and clothes. Now, you look like you ate, and I know you're all clothed. We're good. Let's be content. Discontentment leads us to want something that we necessarily don't need to be happy, and then we worry that we don't have it. Let's be content. Next, he says there's a channeling of his power. Verse 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. This is where the rubber hits the road. See, we're so worried about a situation. We're so worried about the future. And God says, you know what? Just follow me. Do what you're supposed to do, and you can do everything you're supposed to do through Christ. Don't worry about it. Now, by the way, if we're looking at life from a perspective of, I got to get through this life on my own, then I would worry. You got a lot to worry about. But if we're saved and we know God's a part of our life and we know Jesus loves us, it's good. We might struggle. I'm not saying we won't struggle. I'm not saying there isn't obstacles. I'm not saying there won't be sorrow or sadness. I'm saying I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You're not on your own. That's what we don't realize. It's like we talked about Job last week. Just because Job could not see God, he thought God could not see him, and nothing could be farther from the truth. You can make it. By the way, you don't know what you can accomplish until you're pushed to accomplish it. You look at some people that have went through some things, it's like, how did they get through that? I could never go through that. You know what? If that happened to you, God would get you through it. You're not going to see it until you need it. God gives you what you need today to get through what you're going through. He has his power. Well, you know, I worry because that's just the way, you know, I was brought up in a house and we just worried. Okay, stop it. Did we play that video here? Stop it. That would be great counseling. Okay? You know, I'm concerned that one day I'm gonna fall out of an airplane. Stop it. You know why you do that? It's because, you know, your dog licked you too hard when you were a child. No, don't blame it on that dog. Stop it. Don't be nailed down by your past. Well, my family, we all were worriers. Why don't you be the first one to stop? I try, but I struggle. Struggle's good. You can get through it because you have Christ on your side. And then the last thing is this. There's a communication of our prosperity. In verses 14 on, the people were giving to Paul. They were communicating. That means giving. And in verse 19, he just puts it all together and says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. See, because they weren't selfish and they were giving, God says, you'll be taken care of. See, what happens on a physical plane is when we go through problems, we get concerned, we start hoarding the things God tells us to share. I'll be honest with you, we're not talking about tithing this morning, but sometimes we start to struggle a little financially. We're not going to dig out of that hole if we quit giving to God. That's the first step to getting out because we need God's blessing on our finances. So we got to have that. If we're going to get through this thing, we need God's blessing. Or we become selfish in our time. We become selfish in helping other people because we got to focus everything on us. All my resources, all my time, all my energy's on me. That's going to cause more worry. When we get out there and we're generous and we're helpful to other people, we realize, you know what? My problem's not that bad. And as we do that, God gives us more energy and strength to keep doing it. Worry sometimes can really, the root cause can be selfishness. We're so consumed with ourselves and we're not getting what we want and we fret about it. God says that's not the way to handle it. It's our world isn't just about us. Being generous defeats selfishness and it promotes faith and trust. Let me ask you this morning, do you struggle with worry? Are there just, and by the way, it doesn't mean if you worry about some things that you are a worrier. Some people are professional worriers, and they worry about everything all the time. It's like we talked about rebellion a few weeks ago. It's not that people in the church are rebellious, but every now and then we step into rebellion in certain areas. So you may not be a worrier, but there may be times you start to creep into worry in certain areas in your life. That's not what God wants us to have, because it's a lack of faith. It steals our joy, and we have no peace. All things God wants us to have. Are you worrying this morning? Is there something in your mind that just is constantly there and you fret about it? Why don't we follow the plan God has given us, and let's get victory over it. Let's stand this morning.